Canadian Eye.
Good morning, listeners. Y'all know what time it is. It is 0900 hours, Sunday morning on WJNI 106.3, The Jay Wright Show in 2022. We're here. We're in a new year. Where are you at? Where are you at this morning? Are you up? You drinking coffee, tea, mimosa? Got to get the mimosa in. Hot chocolate, whatever's your flavor. As long as you listen to The Jay Wright Show, then, you know, you're starting your Sunday morning off the right way. The right, W-R-I-G-H-T. Happy New Year to you. Blake, good morning, sir. Welcome. Thank you for being on the ones and twos and my first line of defense this morning. So when you call into the Jay Wright Show, because this is a calling platform, 843-308-9564 is the number. Write it down. 843-308-9564 is the number. When you call in, you're going to talk to Blake first. That is my first line of defense. And if you're nice to Blake, you might get through to Jay Wright. Happy New Year. Welcome. Fireworks, celebrations, and COVID cases. Just seem to be the new order of the new year. Is it Happy New Year? Is it Happy New Years? Depending on who you talk to, right? Some will say that. So what are you hoping for? Well, let me get it right. Before I go any further, let me thank those that make this show possible. And let me say Happy New Year on behalf of them and the Jay Wright Show. Dorothy's Funeral Home. F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport. Geechee Seafood. Gyra's Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. Johnson Hall Funeral Home. Hannibal's Kitchen. They got a new look. You need to go by there and visit them. The Jefferson Building. That building got four different businesses operating out of there on Highway 17 in Mount Pleasant. Family Seafood Market. The only Black seafood market in Charleston County, the only, in the old Charlie Brown location. Checkmasters Check Cashing. Tree of Life Ministry, Wallace and Tammy, Rivers Avenue. You'll hear them on the show in coming weeks. And supporting sponsor, the Coastal Chronicle. We're going to support them, and they're going to support me because, you know, they're the Black press that's in town operating now that we no longer have the Chronicle. So wake up, everybody. It's New Year. What are you happy for? What are you going to take into this new year? And also, what are you going to leave behind? Who is my caller of the year? I think I'm going to put out there that my caller of the year is Cousin M. And if you're not Cousin M and you're a caller and you listen, then you could be the caller of the year for 2022. We're going to put that out there on the table as well. So let's get into the show. Let's talk about some great things. I got a good guest that's going to be on at right about 9:15 this morning, and we're going to talk sports on the Jay Wright Show. We're going to talk social, civics, and sports associated with sports. A former NFL coach, former college coach. I talked to Marion Brown, Coach Marion Brown, tight, my man, this morning, and I told him to make sure he listened in, and I also told him to make sure he called into the show. He's always one of my favorite football players growing up as a kid. That dude can get in the end zone. Great standout at the Wando High School as well as South Carolina State, and then went on to play for the Seattle Seahawks. I got love for him, and I was hoping that he'd be listening this morning. So call up. What are you hoping for, and what are you pushing back against and don't want to be a part of your 2022? Call up. 843-308-9564 is the number. If you have a New Year's resolution, if you believe in that, then, you're entitled to that. But this is a new year. I tell you what is apparent. It's apparent that the health crisis has and will continue to play a part of our lives, because it has in the past two new year. So it's here. This one, people, it just seems that people went out and celebrated this year. You know, it seemed to be getting back to normal. Is that good? Again, fireworks, celebrations, and COVID cases. So is it as much as people want it to be back to normal? is it? I tell you as well, this whole normal thing that we, I guess there is some normalcy in some of this, right? Because we broke a record this week. We almost broke a record of almost 500,000 people infected. What will the next 3 weeks look like? Will we be forced to shut down? Not because the government decided to shut us down, simply because folks won't have employees to work. We saw that the other day with all those airplanes that did not fly because not enough employees. So, but in 2022, will we have a shutdown just simply based on not having enough employees to work? No government issue, just employees being unable to show up to work because they're infected and they got these 5 days, 7 days, whatever it is. So will we see that? Maybe you can tell me. I don't have the answer, but I think you do. 843-308-9564 is the number. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what your thoughts are on that issue. But let's recap the week. Let's talk about some things. And don't forget, I'm going to give you my dummy of the week. And I'm going to give you my dummy of the week before my guest comes on, so that way you can tell me whether or not you're in agreement with me. You know the Jay Rice Show. If it's happening, we're talking about it. If it's happening anywhere around the world, we are talking about it. I heard a disturbing comment. And this came from a gentleman that's been in Congress for over 30 years. His comment is terrible for our forward direction. He said that the nastier you are, the more money you raise. Go ahead. Shake your head, drink your mimosa, your coffee, whatever. Say to yourself, did he just say that? Yes. That's what this gentleman said that's been in Congress for over 30 years. He said the nastier you are, the more money you raise. I believe you, and I'm going to tell you, my dummy of the week might be on to something here, because I think she's towing that line. So you know it's a female now, and I put it out there, right? So, and this guy was a member of the R Party. You know, on the Jay Rice Show, I don't do parties. They're either D or R. I don't want to call their names because then I validate them. So you either R or you're a D on the Jay Rice Show. There's no physical name, at least not on this show. Let's talk about the week. Let's do our week in review. Let's recap. Three things happened in Colorado this week that to me stood out. Number one, it was the Colorado governor reducing that truck driver's sentence by 100 years. This guy was given 110 years. I think that was admirable and the right thing to do for the governor to reduce that gentleman's sentence. I don't think he had any intent to kill those people, you know, in that truck. But that was good. That was one of the good things that happened in Colorado. Something else happened in Colorado that seems very normal. It seems normal. It just seemed to be a normal occurrence. And I say normal because we're used to it. You are used to it, whether you realize it or not. Gunman kills 5 people. We're used to that. If you don't think it's normal, then call somebody and tell them to stop. Call somebody you know and say, look, man, let's stop all this. But that is normal. That is a part of our lives now. Now, to the folks in the family that lost their lives, you know, I don't want to sound as if, you know, not valuing their lives, not valuing what happened, but it just seemed apparent that now, you know, we've come to grips with shootings as normal occurrences because they're happening with such frequency. They're happening with such frequency that when it happens 2 days later, we've moved on. We've forgotten about it because day three, something else is going to happen. So let's be clear that will we stop seeing the gun violence in 2022? Or will we see more gun violence? What say you? the caller, the listener, the texter. What say you? Will we see more or will we see less in 2022? We're the most violent society in country in America. I mean, in the global, in this whole global world, we're the most violent. This just, at least I'm saying that, not in total accuracy, because I don't know what's happening in some of those other countries, because it's not being reported. But what I can say is that I'm seeing it right here. I'm seeing it right here at home. I'm seeing it in America. Let me give a huge congratulations and a shout out to the organizers of the Emancipation Parade on yesterday. It was a pleasure being out there. I was had a chance to, Mike Wack is my new chief of staff, as I'm going to call him. And, you know, I had a chance to meet Raven Saunders, which was supposed to be on the show last week. And it's great seeing her. We exchanged phone numbers. And so you guys will hear from Raven in the future. Great hometown, pride associated with her. And, you know, got a chance to talk with Dr. Tanya Matthews, the CEO of the African American Museum, and take a picture with Mayor Tecklenburg. I think I made Mike Wack famous. When you appear on the Jay Rice Show, you could potentially become famous. So Mike Wack is now famous because he appeared on the Jay Rice Show. So I'm working on those other three and get them on the show as well. The museum, Demet Jenkins, you guys are doing a really, really good job with all those volunteers that was there yesterday. And it was great to see that parade end in front of the African American Museum. Before I get to my guests, I'm going to go ahead and put out there right now, my dummy of the week. This is a big dummy. Her name is Marjorie Taylor Greene, the woman from Georgia. Her comment about Kwanzaa was ridiculous. So she earned the right to be the dummy of the week. Kwanzaa was introduced in 1966. And it's an annual week-long celebration with African-American families give gifts, eat traditions, meals, and light candles in honor of their ancestors. I don't know that gentleman that started that in 66. She said that he is, she said some bad things about him. And I got to give her the dummy of the week because I feel bad for my family members that live in the state of Georgia. But I won't be coming to Georgia and spend any money until y'all get rid of her. She is truly the dummy of the week, and she's a big dummy, and I don't know what to say. I'm not coming to Georgia to spend no money. So, but what I will do is jump right in to my caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is John Guy here.
John Guy, good morning, sir. Welcome to the Jay Wright Show on WJNI 106.3, sir. You are my first caller of the year. I'm sorry, you're my first guest of the year. And there's people that are standing by waiting for you and I to have this conversation. So much so that I immediately started getting texts. As soon as I posted you were going to be on, my nephew started texting me. My brother-in-law, Richard Love and Lifer, those guys started texting me and with all these questions and all this excitement. So there are folks that are extremely happy to know that you're on the show. We're going to have some discussion about sports on the Jay Rice Show on Sunday morning, WJNI. Let's get right
looking
in.
Forward.
Let's get right in, sir.
Challenge.
Let me have you introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Okay, I'm John Guy. I'm originally from North Carolina. What I do presently is that I'm a consultant with a sports agency group called Vanguard Sports Group. We only have about 35 clients. We like to keep it small. The agency, I am not an agent. Let's get that straight right off the bat.
Right.
I don't care to be one. but my background tends for me to be a little bit more than just that. I come from the coaching ranks of college, starting with UNC Chapel Hill, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Alabama, Kentucky. And from there, I went on to Pittsburgh Steelers, Oakland Raiders, Then I switched lanes a little bit, and I got into the scouting department. And then from there, I got into the management part where I was became vice president of Buffalo Bills. So I've kind of worn a lot of hats in the football arena. It's afforded me a lot of seats to sit in and a lot of hats to wear and a lot of different tables to sit at and a great place to be perched and listen and hear what people think and what they do and what they say and what they don't do. So I got a different background. There are not many people that do what I do. And in the present right now, what I'm doing with Vanguard is that I work with the rookie players. I think last year, I think we had 7 rookie players, and I think 4 ended up being starters at different positions, none of which were drafted before the 3rd round. So, we felt good about what we did and how we went about doing it. And this agency has only been up and running for 6 years. So that's what I do. And I try to prepare these young men for what's around the corner, try to eliminate all the humps in the road, all the things that are just coming. And sometimes a good answer may not be the appropriate answer. Mm-hmm. And the key is to know and understand the world that you're in and who you're talking to in that world, because different people will ask the same question different way, and the impact of the algorithms that are pretty much in line with who's talking to you. The things that people want to hear, the things that people want to feel, and you just have to make sure that those people are feeling the right things and making a good impression. The first impression is sometimes the last impression. So that's what I do.
That's and that is greatly, greatly appreciated, because again, that tells us, and that tells my local and my millions of listeners that's listening around the world, that you're in a key role as it relates to our kids and our youth and making them better in some regards. You know, what you're saying about when I think about, your work, I immediately begin to think about a comment that was kind of circulating kind of right after the Deion Sanders, the 5-star recruit decommitted, and then went to commit to school that Deion Sanders is a coach at. And I think I heard throughout that week that was seemed very disturbing, and which is really why I wanted to get you on the show too, is that a lot of the big time schools like Alabama, where you were at one point, they recruit football players and says, come to Alabama and play football for me. Whereas the HBCUs coaches, i.e. Deion and some of the other notable names that's now coaching, say, come and play football, and then also let me work on your character and make you a good a good citizen and a good role model for when college is over. Is that, am I right? Am I almost right? You know, I'm Jay right, but am I almost right in that?
You're always right.
There you go, brother. I like to hear that. I like to hear that.
Well, here's my take on it. To go to a school like Alabama, you go to the SEC, those are schools pretty much, when you go there, you know why you're there. Mm-hmm. You're on a football scholarship. You are on a football scholarship. Yeah, it is a sermon that is preached about football and academics, but the stronger sermon is the football. Let's make no mistake about it. Football is going to drive this engine, and the education is going to come through the football. Okay? Now, there's a lot of things that are talked about in a college, university setting that you should get, the socialization and your academics, that's kind of left up to you. But we're going to encourage you. We're going to put everything in front of you. But remember, it's football. My first time in Alabama was really different because my background is entirely different. I played in North Carolina A&T. All my education, all my athletic association was black. I mean, it was never in an integrated situation until I went to Chapel Hill.
Right.
And so the facilities are different. The the fans are different. The vocabulary is different. Everything's different, okay, for me when I went there. And the fact that I have continued to work in that integrated situation has exposed me to a lot of haves and have not. And, you know, the thing about going to the big school, when you go to a school that's interested in winning a national championship, then there's a different kind of pressure, different kind of energy there, which is focused on winning, not winning, but on winning the national championship. You see, winning is one thing. We don't talk about winning when we're at that school, at the SEC school. We talk about winning the national championship because winning is understood to be the factor. You're going to win or you're not going to be there.
Right.
So that's that. But what most people don't understand is that and I can say this, if I had children and a son or a daughter and they wanted to go to a school that's striving to be a national championship in whatever sport, you have to realize that there's a totally different mindset of those guys, those people. They are fine, laser, clear, focused on what their mission is, to get in, be productive, win a championship, get out, and go to a higher ground. That's it. Now, for me, when you start competing for those things, there's a certain amount of burnout that's going to come with the pressures of being in that arena, mm-hmm. Being in those meetings, being in your performances. There's pressure, and there is a higher risk of injury, and not just the higher risk of having to compete with those injuries and play through those injuries are greater when you're competing for those championships. My first scouting job, I was scouting from El Paso, Texas to North Dakota. So I saw all of the Oklahomas, the Texases, and everything, and the LSUs. I saw all these schools. And then what blew my mind was the amount of injuries that the players had occurred to these guys, how certain guys have played through surgeries and things like that. I never had ever witnessed that in coming up in lesser pressure situations. You play when you're well, right. Not playing through it. You know, for the most part, you get healthy and you come back. But when those pressure situations, those injuries, you got to learn to play through them.
Well, you know, John, that brings up, and I don't want to cut you off, but I want to get this in too, because this was a question that was sent to me by my nephew, and he wanted to make sure I got this in. You just made something. You said something that's so valuable and so important about injuries in football. Well, how do we fast forward to injuries in 2022 and student athletes being compensated? What are your thoughts on that? And how is that working? You know, because you know. How is that compensation strategically planned? So is it have some of the same layers that NFL have, whereas you're required to play so many games, you got to get so many yards? Or can we talk about that, and particularly as it relates to college ranks?
Well, here's the thing: you're talking about name, images, and likeness. That has been a game changer here in 2021, where now players get paid for doing commercials, getting paid for their brand, their performances on the field. Now, that's a good thing. That's where we're going to have we're going to lose a battle anyway, because if you plan for a national championship, by far, if you're at that school, you're going to get more attention. Mm-hmm. If you're at a smaller school, the best you can get is local. You know, you're not going to get any big, I shouldn't say you're not, but you're very limited to what national exposure you can get in a commercial, unless you just got great personality and your personality is better than your athletic performance, you know, then mm-hmm. that will happen. Mm-hmm. But I think that's changed. When you talk about the Jackson State thing, I think that was a good combination. And you know, I don't, can I just talk on it and just go with it? I am really happy and encouraged by Coach Sanders on his approach to this. For years, I've been saying, I'm in North Carolina, from North Carolina, and I say that my school should be trying to compete with all the ACC schools, the Big Four, wherever they are in the state, should compete with them, because in a 5 to 6 stage radius, there are relatives and family, and there's a lot of pride in having attended a historically black college. It runs deep. I mean, lots of times the first child that was ever attended school was at a historically black school. Mm-hmm. And there's just a tremendous pride. And most people don't really just realize the pride that's involved. And so kids would be interested, but the prizes are greater at the non-HBC schools, the prizes. I mean, like the exposure, the social media. The social media has become a neutralizer also. Mm-hmm. It works for you. It works against you. Mm-hmm. But it is a factor now that comes into play with this NIL thing, the names and image likeness deal. This whole exposure thing, corporate America has opened up a little bit more. The government is right now is giving the historically black colleges money to support itself. There's more funds coming in. Is it enough? No. Are we behind? Yeah. But we can do with what we do. And I think also for years, we've been victims of our own history, saying, well, we can't compete. Mm-hmm. Well, let's give those guys a chance. Those that want to be, consider. I remember talking to a parent in the Pro Bowl, and the father played at Grambling, and all he wanted his son to do was to go visit Grambling on a recruiting trip, and just so he could see what he had experienced as a father, as a player at Grambling. But Grandma didn't invite his kid an opportunity to see it because they knew he was going to go somewhere else. And, and so you want to go where you're offered and where you're liked. And so we sometimes say we're not going to get in that fight because we're going to lose. And that may be so, but you may win. All it takes is to win one. And I think that Dion has done a great job of being courageous, getting out front of this, using all the things that he has built his brand to be and exposing. I take my hat off to him for stepping out there. But there's a line out there that people are watching, and you got to just make sure that everybody's in line with what our purpose is. You are in the South, and you can't be stealing our guys, so you have to be aware of that,
Right.
And they will say they're guys, but I'm just saying.
Right. And I clearly understand where you're going with that. I have a favorite player, and I mentioned him earlier. John, I'm sure you probably were a really good player, and you did go to North Carolina A&T. That is a historical black colleges. That's deep rooted for me. My favorite player was Marion Brown. I don't know if you remember him. We played high school at the Wando High School, and then went on to play at South Carolina State and Seattle Seahawks. One of the most electrifying wide receiver I ever seen as a kid growing up. And I called him this morning and told him make sure he listened to the show because he would be on. He also, great guy. I got nothing but love for him. And to know that, he's a part of an HBCU experience as you were, kind of says a lot about where we're trending. And how do we get more kids at HBCUs? What do HBCUs need to do?
Well, just to say that, it's kind of trippy in my mind because I've watched the national championship game, and it was between South Carolina State and Jackson State.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, there's two schools that I've probably only heard mentioned. I'm going to give them a benefit of the doubt. Twice, Hampton and A&T were not even mentioned when they were talking about HBC schools. They weren't even talked, probably because they got out of the MEAC and now they're in the Big South Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, okay, you've turned your back on us and we're not going to. That was my interpretation of it.
Right.
But, and I want to watch that as we go further, how that separation, that divide. And how do you get more exposure? Yeah, it's still historically black college, but it's stepped up the level of competition, the level of exposure, the notoriety that's going to come with a 16-team group that's stronger, playing stronger schedules. And, you know, and I say it, I won't even say it because it's probably not right. So, but, you know, we're playing in the old conference, you're going to have the same exposure and you'll be seen the same way. But if you move to a better schedule, more social media, more everything, I think that's how we have to, because some of the, you know, you look at the North Carolina A&T, I am kind of promoting A&T somewhat.
Yeah, I can kind of tell. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
But it's the one I know. I only live a half a mile from the school. But, you know, they produce more black engineers than any, probably more than all the engineering schools in the country.
And you know, something, let me just, I just got to toss this in there really quickly. There's a texter. He's not a caller. He's really good, really close to me, named Ed Lee. He went to AT&T. He probably, to him, you're not even saying the name enough. But go right ahead, sir.
but it's true. You produce more ranking military officers, black, than probably all the schools in the country that have ROTC. But there are some great things that are happening. And I just think that we have to continue from the vice president down, just continue to spread the spirit and spread the word. That's where everything is right now. It's all about social validation, and you know, you see more people wearing the gear from historically black colleges on TV and in interviews and things like that. There are things happening, and I think that with Deion's move, I think it kind of we get a little bit more elevation on our throat right now.
That's good. But I think it's good because I can recall the days, and, you know, I'm sure you do remember as well, you know, right after Different World, the show, the sitcom, there was this huge rise in wearing black HBCU's gear. There were a huge rise in that. And Dr. Huxtable, as we called him, the lollipop man, he was, he was responsible for that. And he gave us this sense of pride back. And it was an amazing thing. You know, my other daughter bought me an HBCU T-shirt for Christmas, and it has all the colleges on the back of it. I love that shirt, and you know, just to know that you, of course, attended an HBCU. You're on this show this morning on the Jay Rice Show, first guest of the year. We got some pride to restore, and so we're gonna do that this year.
And it is an avenue, and you know, the more you hear it, the more you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's what is that thing I came across this week was the eyes can't see what the mind doesn't know.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just my little saying for the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the more people see it, the more they'll know about it. The more questions to be asked, where is that school? What's that college about?
Right.
It's amazing that it is, whatever is visible, we know.
Right. Right. You know, this is this is great for my viewing and my listening audience to have an opportunity to have you on. You got a wealth of experience. You have you've been through the ranks. You know, you served as in a VP role, and you know, this is good for the Jay Rice Show, but it's also good for society to have these kind of dialogues and conversations about things that people think about all the time. You know, one of the other questions that was asked to me, and I want to get it in before, you know, we leave the show, is that, you know, there seem to be, for a parent whose child is participating in football right now, what are some of the things they could do to get the looks from the Division I schools? Should that even be a concern just today?
Well, you know what? I should say it's always in the mind of the player because they, the athlete, because they, you know, the student athlete, I should say, that, you know, everybody wants to compete at a higher level. Everybody wants to have their own commercial, you know. The number one killer of dreams, the number one killer of dreams is reality.
Wow.
Reality has killed more dreams than anything. But you know, you have to know what world you're in and what dreams are obtainable and what's not. You know, you can be a big fish in a little pond, or how it works, you know, but you have to have some guidance and some realistic approaches to where you can play. You know, and I always say, do you want to go to Notre Dame or wherever, or Southern Cal, and be a part of a championship? Or do you want to go to North Carolina A&T, where you can be a player in that championship game? You know, there's which one do you want? Where's your value? Where's your norm? But, you know, this whole thing about picking the school, I'm a firm believer in this day and age of imagery, names, and likeness, as long as you are a dominant figure on any level, they will find you.
Right.
If you're good enough, I will watch Tariq Cohen play. And I go like, hey, he played good in all the big games. He handled himself well. He's going to get drafted. And he dominated the MEAC. That's what you have to do. Be a dominant player.
Right.
That's
right.
Your aspiration. You got to be, and to be dominant takes a lot of stuff. I mean, you have to do all the extras. You have to be a good citizen. You get into what is social, what is moral.
Right.
You got to have everything in line. You know, and if we had time, we'd talk about something else.
Right.
In line with that, but the only thing we can do is support financially. Be involved in all the activities that surround the community. Be involved in the just things in at the high school level. You know, get started early. With you build your reputation early, so you get involved in civic things. You get involved in community things, and those things will create value if you're a professional. If that's your ambition, it will create value down the road. I was sitting down last night talking to my nephew, and he works in colleges. So I said, here's a question. You got a question now. You're talking to the general manager or owner of a team, and he's going to ask you, after we draft you, where would you live in the off season? Tricky question, right?
Right, and you're
right. Like, well, first thing is I'm going to be here sometime and be at home sometime. I go like, well, that's an answer, but it's not the right answer. What you should say, the most appropriate answer should be, of course, I'm going to maintain a place here in this town. I'm going to be involved in the community. I'm going to spread my brand here. People will buy my jersey. They will come to the game with signage and support me. I mean, they want to hear that part because that sells tickets.
Right.
And of course, I'm going to go back home, but When you start talking about higher levels, you have to see the grand picture of things, because you're always being interviewed, and somebody's always listening.
Outstanding. You know, John,
I answered your question.
John, great. I mean, that's a great point. And I got to get you back on. You know, for my listening audience, you're calling from Buffalo, New York, which is where you live. And you're my first guest of the 2022. I can't thank you enough for being on the Jay Wright Show this morning. I will, of course, get you back on, right around Super Bowl time, when we're close to those events coming up, to get you back on and get your views on those and see whether or not we lined up on who's going to win it. It's a pleasure. It really is a pleasure having you on this morning. And we got to do this again. Thank you so very much for taking time out this morning. Be on the Jay.
It is my honor to be on your show and be a part of this. And anytime that I can be of assistance, feel free to use me.
I got your number, sir. I will be in touch. And let's be clear about something, listening audience. North Carolina AT&T is not a sponsor of the Jay Wright Show. You just heard them a lot this morning on the show. John Guy, thank you, man. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, we're not a supporter, but we are a supporter. We're not a sponsor.
All right, sir. Good. Thank you, man.
Right,
enjoy your day.
You.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Y'all heard him. If you had some questions and or concerns about some of the things John mentioned this morning, you know, hopefully he answered them. But if he didn't answer them, you can rest assured that I can make the reach out to get him back on so we can talk about things. You know, because sports is a big part of our social and our civic life. What John said that was very valuable. And I know he's a good guy because his name is John. I know that. So the thing that he said that was critically important is the whole idea that what they want to hear from you, what they expect you to say. Well, if you say that, if I'm a general manager and I'm asking you the question about what you're going to do and you tell me you're going to hang around and create a positive image right here locally, oh, yeah, you my man. That probably is that kid that, as John talked about, that may have started social and civic volunteer activity when they were in high school. That may have been how they started. They may have started just that way and then evolved into this good football player and went on to take their same approach somewhere else. My lines are lit up. It's the new year. I got folks calling. I'm going to jump right in this morning and talk with all my callers. The lines are lit up. There's no more room. So if you want to call in, stick around. But let me go to the first caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. Good morning.
Good morning, Johnny. This is Cousin M.
Good morning, Cousin M. Happy New Year. You are the caller of the year.
Happy New Year to you.
You are the caller of the year per Jay Wright.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and the family.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
I have the same dummy that you have, and then I have another dummy.
Okay, let's hear him.
Okay. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce her name only when I see it because she has an unusual name.
Okay.
Ghislaine, I think the first
name.
Okay. Now, she should never see daylight.
The Maxwell lady.
Okay. Right, Maxwell. That's right. Maxwell. Mm-hmm. She should never see daylight for what she did with her now deceased
partner.
You know, partner. Right. Right.
Criminal partner.
Criminal partner, exactly. And I think his behavior was really despicable, okay? And those young ladies, I feel sorry for, that they have to probably have therapy for the rest of their life behind what happened to this, what happened to them.
You know, Cousin M, that's a very, I'm glad you mentioned that because I did not put that in my monologue to discuss today. And she could clearly be a dummy of the week. But, you know, I was doing a show earlier this week, and one of the things I said on the show was, how unfair is it that she would be targeted and be sentenced to all these, this time, you know, the potential for all to spend all this time in jail as the woman?
Mm-hmm.
And was she doing this so that she can keep the company of the prince and the presidents and all these influential people? Was she going along just so that she can keep the same company and not realizing, you know, that she was a part of a sex trafficking? And I guess.
Exactly.
And I guess my question, M, and I'd like for the listening audience to weigh in, of all the people that potentially she may have had played a role in, do we believe that only that woman would be charged? What about all those others?
They should be charged as well.
Yeah, I just think, I think for a sex trafficking case and the woman to be the only one charged, I think that's a problem.
Right, right. But see, her family, they're a sick bunch too because they believe that she should be exonerated.
Well,
they're just as sick as she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's thank the justice system because they got her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. And I'm glad. And see, another, I have the same dummy you have, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, my God.
You know what? That big face woman needs to just go somewhere and sit down.
Cousin M, let's just not spend no money in Georgia. That way, you know, they can't. She can't get paid to stay on. Em, I got another call online. I love talking with you.
Oh, okay.
It is always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you. And I look forward to somebody trying to compete with you to be the caller of the year in 2022.
Oh, all right? Okay.
Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day.
I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you later today.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cousin
Have
L.
A good one.
All right.
Bye.
All right, we're going to jump right in. We're going to get everybody on. If you trying to call in, call in. I want to hear from you today. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, Mr. Wright. Marion Brown. How are you, sir?
Oh, my God. My favorite, my favorite player, Pastor Marion Brown. Good morning, sir. It is a pleasure to have you on the show with me this morning. And you got to make a commitment to get in the studio with me sometime in 2022.
Well, you know, we grew up together, man. We grew up in the bottom of the project together. So, you know, whatever you need, I'm here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind? And did you get a chance to hear John this morning?
Yes, I heard him. And thank you, man. You're so enlightening. I listen to you every Sunday morning.
Good.
Prior to me going to church. But, you know, Johnny, it's not that the NFL is not coming to our smaller schools. They are.
Okay.
They are now.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the reason why you don't hear them coming that often, but they do, because most of our great black athletes, they're going to these bigger schools. But we still have a lot of talent at the smaller schools. Now, when you look back at a small school like South Carolina State, back in the 70s, South Carolina State and Grambling, we were the two elite teams probably in the nation.
Mm.
Here, I have three national black championship rings.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
South Carolina State, they were winning national black championship titles prior to me going to South Carolina State.
Right.
But, you know, I played with the likes of Charlie Brown,
yeah.
Evan Bailey, Dexter Klintskill, Rufus Best. I can just go on and on and on and on. But you know something else? You'll find a lot of gyms at these smaller schools.
Right.
You know, trying to pay the athletes now, yeah, it's going to hurt the smaller school.
Okay.
Unless you set a limit. I mean, trying to pay a guy at South Carolina State the same amount, you're going to pay a guy at Alabama, really?
Right, exactly.
Look, think about that.
Exactly,
but
right.
Check this out, Johnny. Then I'm going to let you go because I know there are other people waiting to get on. Tom Brady. Have you ever heard of him?
Well known.
Guess what? Guess who convinced the Patriots organization to draft him?
Who's that?
Edwin Bailey.
Wow.
Edwin Bailey played at South Carolina State.
Right.
For a
right.
long time, Edwin Bailey held the record for the Seattle Seahawks for the most offensive starts for an offensive player.
Which is where you played at as well, right?
Yeah, briefly.
Okay, right,
but
right.
After he retired after 11 seasons, he became a scout for the New England Patriots.
Mm.
He convinced him to draft Tom Brady.
Wow. Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Right.
You know what else? A lot of people don't know who was the first black NFL quarterback for Seattle Seahawks. Charles Clayton. From South Carolina State.
Really?
So there are a lot of hidden secrets at these black universities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Charlie
mm-hmm.
Brown. Look at him.
Yeah. That's my man. He played for the Redskins.
From John Dolan.
Yeah, from John
Dolan. Yeah. Played in two Super Bowls.
Right.
Great brand. So there are a lot of great athletes. Darius Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it was the 2019, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to get the year correct. 2018-2019 NFL Defensive Player of the Year
mm-hmm.
from South Carolina State.
Outstanding. See. A lot of pride.
We're the only school. Yeah, and look here. We have four Hall of Famers from South Carolina State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No other school in the state of South Carolina can boast about that.
Wow.
Because we're the only one. Clemson has one.
See, that pride, that that pride runs deep, you know, and you can hear it in your conversation and your voice, and you're coaching right now kids that are going to your former alumni, South Carolina State, as in the quarterback. I made a reference recently about him doing one of the players doing the Deion dance in that championship game. I thought it was funny. From some of
them. Yeah.
You know, so you're coaching these kids that are now going to HBCUs and, you know, going to other colleges. You know, that has got to be, you know, an admirable, honorable thing to have any kid under your direction, as far as I'm concerned.
I sat in Atlanta, and I was so proud of Corey and Richard to see those two guys who played together at Baptist Hill High School.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when Corey connected with Richard Bailey for a touchdown as well, mm-hmm. oh, man, I was probably the happiest kid in the stadium.
Wow. Right.
Because right. In high school, he threw about 40-something touchdown passes to Richard Bailey in high school.
I saw many of your games.
Yeah, so it was great just to see that. But like I said, I just wanted to call in this morning and say thank you. And I will continue to listen, and you continue to be blessed and have a happy new year.
Thank you. But I do have one last question for you before you leave. You know, what I did not, what I haven't seen from any of your kids is that dance that you did in high school when you scored a touchdown. You know, you were so animated and that ugly dance, but you made it famous. So I don't know if you're.
We copied Willie White Shoe. We copied Paul Warfield.
Uh-huh.
We copied Roy Jefferson. And then when I went to South Carolina State, Charlie Brown and I, we copied Lynn Swan and Stallworth. So, you know, we had people. So we didn't originate those dance. It was just something that we picked up.
Well, actually, in all my years of Wando, you're the only player I ever known to do a dance after the touchdown. Thank you for being on this morning with me. And I look forward to getting you in the studio and having you on so we can talk more about all the great things you're doing.
Have a blessed morning.
You do as well.
Right.
All right. You heard from my favorite football player, the only player at the Wando High School that had a touchdown dance. I don't know how they authorize that and how they allow that, as our school kind of what, a little conservative, right? You know, Sweeney and all those guys that coached back then. I didn't know that you could almost got away with that. But, yeah, he is the only one that I can remember that had a touchdown dance in my school. Thank him for calling in. It's great to have this opportunity to talk about, you know, the sports part of our social and civic lives, because it affects our kids. And our kids they embrace sports. So what we now need and what we should be looking for is positive, strong, positive role models that they can that they can be around and ensure that you know, the HBCUs are, you know, that athlete in itself become a good, strong, positive citizen, you know, with moral values. So this is a great conversation. This is a great conversation and a great way to start off the new year, talking about something that I didn't necessarily chime in on that last year so much. So just look for a huge sense of diversity from the Jay Rice Show this year. And if you're a caller and you got something you want to say, 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. Call up. I want to hear what you have to say. And I think this is the year I'm going to call people out. You know, if you don't call the Jay Rice Show, and I know you're listening, then I'm going to just call you out and see if I can make you call the Jay Rice Show. Say things about you. You know what I mean? Like I said about my brother-in-law and Richard and Edward. I know they're listening. In fact, I want you to, you know, to tell your wives, Lynette and Netta, that I won't be listening to them in 2022. So I don't want to hear them tell me what to do and what not to do on the Jay Rice Show, because I'm not going to listen to them. So y'all can tell them that while y'all listening to the show, that that I won't be asking for their opinion, and I don't want them to give it to me this year. I love them. They're my sisters, but I'm not going to do it this year. So, brothers, call up Lifer, Richard Love. I know you're listening to the show. You got something to say. You're talking to each other right now. So, Ed Lee, you're another one of those texters that don't call me. So I'm going to call people out this year. This is 2022 is a year to call people out. What did I talk about that might be of interest to you? 843-308-9564 is the number. This is the first show of the 2022. I'm on. You should jump on and call in. And for the first time in 2022, be a caller. 843-308-9564 is that number. Anything I talked about is on the table. If I did not talk about it, you're free to call up as well. I want to make sure I mention something too as well. DeCorey Joyner, I want to give that huge round of applause and congratulations to that young man. I'm so happy for him with that MVP, winning the MVP in that bowl game. And, you know, he's a quarterback from Fort Dorchester. I'm not so much happy for the University of South Carolina as I am for DeCorey Joyner, because great football player in high school, and for him to go and get a chance to play quarterback at University of South Carolina in that bowl game and win and become MVP, kudos. Congratulations. I met him, had a chance to be around him. I'm very happy for him. Very, very happy for him. Not so much the university, but I'm very happy for that young man. There was also something that, if you're here in the Charleston County area, pay attention, because I got some information this recently, and of course, in my case, you know, I was a part of and will ever be a part of the county treasurer's program as it relates to the tax installment plan. That opportunity, there's an opportunity that's going to be coming up, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's this Saturday, and if I'm wrong, then somebody will call me and text me that I'm wrong. But I think this Saturday, the treasurer's office and the auditor's office in Charleston County will be opened for those that wish to make those last-minute tax payments. So I think this coming Saturday, and I'll clarify that, and if somebody's listening that can, please help me with that. But pay attention that this Saturday, which I don't know that they do it every year, but they're going to be open and to take your taxes payments on Saturday, which is, I guess, to me, obviously something they don't always do. But pay attention so you can be informed and or take advantage of that. And become familiar with that tax installment plan. Great plan. Really great plan. I got to get the auditor. I got to get Mary Tinkler on. I got to get the county treasurer on, Mary Tinkler, to talk about that. I'll try to do that. I will do any and everything I can to reach out to those that I think that can bring valuable information to the Jay Rice Show and make the Jay Rice Show a better show in 2022. What are you happy for? It's a new year. What are you gonna do differently this year? What are you gonna leave behind in 2021? And what are you gonna take with you? Those are some things that I guess you should be thinking about. I did the traditional thing. My mom always made me take the Christmas lights down New Year's Day. She always says to me, you can leave them on New Year's Eve, but New Year's Day, you get rid of them lights. You get to start a new year. So I did what she always would make me do anyway as a kid. And tradition, I did the tradition. I took all those lights down yesterday, and I just said, Mom, I did what you tell me to do. You know, we're coming up on the end of the very first show in 2022. It is always a pleasure, and I have so much fun in studio live bringing you the Jay Rice Show, and I look forward to it every Sunday, and you being a part of it, you listeners, the callers, y'all know who you are. I know who you are that says to me all the time that you listen to the show. I'm going to do my very best in 2022 to bring you as good a show as I did in 2021, or even better. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you about some of the things that you want me to do, or some of the things you'd like to hear me maybe chime in on, or some guests that you would like to have on the Jay Rice Show this year. My sponsors, the people that make this show, that allows me to come on in this brand new year: Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, the Geechee Seafood, Gyrus Place, Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, the Jefferson Building on Highway 17 in Mount Pleasant, Family Seafood Market, and the old Charlie Brown location, Check Masters, Check Cashing, Tree of Life Ministry, and our supporting sponsors, the Coastal Chronicle. I want to thank you. It is a pleasure, as always a pleasure, to be in the studio and have this show before you today in the brand new year in 2022. I thank you all for listening. I ask you to continue to listen, encourage other people to listen to the show. This is what we're going to do here. And on the J. Rice Show. And I thank you so much. This is a great opportunity for all of us. Stay in peace until next week, and Happy New Year.